All right, hear about the economy, this business, that small business, big, all of it. And I read a story that intrigued the heck out of me just the other day. Let me welcome in right now Christopher Beers, founder, owner, Grandpa Joe's Candy Shop. You can find it in the Strip. I walked past there just today on my way to get some coffee. Hi, Christopher. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me today.
Did producer Margo accost you about squashies yet, by the way?
Delicious. I can't believe that she let one bag last her 2 days. She has better control than I do.
Well, I'm a Boston baked beans and lemon heads guy because I'm 48 years old and they make me think of when I was little, if that makes any sense.
100%. Yep.
But candy. Okay. So I was thumbing through, I think it was the Pittsburgh Business Times maybe the other day. And I saw a story on you, and it was ambitious. Now, I think you just opened your 21st overall store, maybe 8th in Pennsylvania, over toward York or somewhere. And so I'm thumbing through this, and I saw this number jumped out at me. It said they'd like to eventually get to 75 or 100 stores. When I say that's ambitious, you say what?
Watch. Just watch what happens. 12 years ago, we opened our very first store in the Strip District. It was 900 square feet. And over the last couple years, kind of laying low, we've been just building a little bit of a candy empire, if you will, with retail stores now in 5 different states. And we're already up to number 21, which is just amazing. And I'd like to just keep this going here.
What is the, and you know, I know the lure for me, and I mentioned it. I go in there and I feel like there was a penny candy store. I grew up in Sharpsburg. There was a penny candy store that we'd go to, and I feel like I walked in there again where I could buy Swedish Fish, where I could get Boston baked beans, lemon heads, those things that look like communion wafers, those little wax bottles that have that liquid in it that's terrible, but it makes you think you're 6 years old again. Is that part of the lure for a lot of your customer base?
Definitely. Nostalgic is our number one category. And I mean, I don't know anyone that likes a Necco wafer, but we still sell a million of them. Like, who eats those chalky, terrible tasting things? But, it's a trip down memory lane. It's the stress of the outside world. You leave it all at the door and you come in and you just reminisce maybe the better days of just, you know, nobody's reading the wrappers either. Like, who cares what the calorie content is or the sugar content? You're just coming in. You're grabbing a couple things that just bring back the better days, maybe.
Yeah, you know, and I want to get to that. Christopher Beers joining right now, founder, owner, Grandpa Joe's Candy in the Strip. Those are two things that I had questions about. One is the economy, and two is health. They tell us all the time, well, economy, bad time to open a business, bad time to expand a business. Well, you're sort of bucking that trend. And also, everybody's eating everything that's great for them. Well, you're pushing gazillions of candy out the door, and people keep coming back for more. How do you look at those two factors and say, I'm going against the grain there? First, the economy.
I think I've been going against the grain from day one. When I told my mom I was going to open up a penny candy store, and she says, how in the world are you going to feed your family off of a penny candy store? And I told her, Mom, I honestly have no idea, but just let me try. I didn't have a business plan. I didn't have any schooling or anything behind me. I didn't have a loan, nothing. I just hard work, dedication, and surrounding myself with really good people that have helped me grow. The economy has been kind of brutal for us, to be honest, with everybody. Just everybody's affected by it. And so candy pricing, we survived COVID without massive price increases. The Great Depression, I mean, candy has always been relatively inexpensive. Candy's been vigilant and getting through, but in the recent years, candy has gotten to be a little expensive with sugar shortages and cocoa shortages and supply and demand and packaging costs. And so it has gotten kind of interesting. But you know, that one thing is that people always do something to take care of their kids or to treat themselves. And candy can be an inexpensive treat. And so maybe you're passing on the expensive steak dinner, but a trip to Grandpa Joe's and you drop 25, 30, 40 bucks, it's more rewarding than maybe paying that for a steak dinner.
What have you found out about the consumer who isn't in Pittsburgh? You know, you go out to different places. It feels like, and I looked at your locations, it feels like you made a vested interest to get into downtowns and not necessarily outskirts. Is that true?
That's definitely what sets us apart from anyone else that's trying to do, you know, something similar to what we're doing. For me, I become part of the community. Here in Pittsburgh, you know, we've been part of the Strip District since 2012. We're part of the downtown Canonsburg community and Mount Lebanon community and downtown Beaver community. And I feel confident that even though I'm not working behind the register there, the folks in those communities know that the owner is genuine and that we as a brand are part of the community. And that's in all 20 of our locations all over the U.S. That's who we are. We find a way to say yes to every single donation request. We try to find a way to be in the Christmas parades and sponsor the teams. And it's finding a way to say yes in every single community. And I think that's really what sets us apart from those big box stores that are in the strip malls.
Does the reinvention of the strip excite you with more residential?
It has changed the strip, and the strip now is even busier from the 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock hour. You know, we've always been open till 8 or 9 o'clock at night when all of the other businesses closed at 4. And so the strip has definitely transitioned. I'm hoping that I got there early enough to plant my feet in the ground and become a staple of the strip. Up there with the legends of PenMac and Sinceri and all those types of places, like that's where I'm hoping I've earned my place in the strip.
Last thing for you, and we're talking to Christopher Beers, founder, owner, Grandpa Joe's. Like I said, I wanted to talk to him because I read this Pittsburgh Business Times piece where he wants to expand from 2021 stores to 75 or 100. Where is candy going? You said that in a sense, it kind of didn't go anywhere because you sell so much nostalgic candy. Is there a trend that it just continues to stay backward in a way where people think of their youth and it's the nostalgic candy that works?
That's definitely a huge part, but TikTok has changed the game, and innovation is so critical. And the candy producers out there, they're producing innovation. So it went from squashies, which Taylor Swift said was her favorite candy, and they made it in the UK. We have tons of flavors of the UK squashies in our store, from the Dubai bar that went internationally viral and was a $30 chocolate bar. You know, nobody's looking at the price. They just have to have it because they saw it on TikTok. Now it's only $12.99 in Grandpa Joe's, but you know, 6 months ago it was a $30 candy bar. And it's just, there's always innovation happening in candy. And I think maybe you can say we sell candy in our store, but I think we really sell an experience, and that also sets us apart from everybody else out there. Is we want you to get a warm greeting when you walk in the door, and we want you to just relax and take your time and see all there is to see and just be excited about reminiscing of, oh, those were grandma's favorite candies in that little red wrapper, you know, that looked like strawberries. You can remember those types of things.
You know, it's funny you say that, because those satellite wafers, every time that I see those, I think of they made us practice for First Holy Communion with those. I'm serious.
Terrible. A terrible piece of styrofoam that you let sit on your tongue to dissolve. I don't understand it, but man, do we sell a ton of them.
It's crazy. Wonderful stuff. I appreciate it. Have a great holiday. And I'm glad to pick your brain a little bit, Christopher. I appreciate it. And we'll talk again soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. That's a great, great business tale. The guy had no plan. He just had a couple bucks, wanted to get into candy. Everybody said he was crazy. Now he's opened his 21st store, and he has designs on getting to 75 or 100. I love stories like that. People that take a chance on themselves. Fantastic. Fantastic stuff. All right, here we go. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. In just a few minutes, you're going to be able to get four tickets to Pitt, Ohio State. That's coming up on Friday evening. Oh, looks like snow in the forecast. Oh, everybody's going to panic. Buy salt, buy bread, buy milk. All of it. Snow tires. Where's the chains? So in a couple minutes, pit tickets for Friday night. Tonight, though, as Rod Stewart once said, two nights the night. But he said it different. His cadence was different. Dancing with the Stars is tonight, the finals. Margot, I think I'm exhausted by it, even though I didn't watch one second of it. My wife and daughter already have designs on. I was made aware this morning that they will be staying up. This is big news in our house. They will be staying up until 11 tonight because it's a, is it like a 3-hour special or something?
This is my first time hearing that.
Yeah, I think it's on till 11 or something.
Okay, well, cool.
Yeah, who are you rooting in? They're rooting for, I told you that, Crocodile Guy or whatever?
Robert.
I think they're at this point, they want Robert.
Yeah, I think he's going to win, but I want Daniel.
Okay.
I think it, I might be getting that wrong.
You seem to be over Dancing with the Stars.
I know, I kind of am.
Yeah, I think I've never watched it. I get the feeling this was kind of a dud of a season.
No, I liked it. I just loved last season so much more because I sat and watched it with my college roommates, and now I'm not with them, so it's not to get sappy.
No, I got you. Now, you always remember last season as kind of like your last hurrah in college and like girl bonding and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I get it. I understand. You associate different moments, different television things, different gatherings with times in your life. And that was your graduating. You were in your graduating college era.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Okay. And now I don't watch it with them. So.
Oh, you're gonna cry, Margo.
No, I'm not. I'm smiling. No. I just.
But you're smiling through the tears.
No, exactly. I miss college. Okay.
You too. I didn't mean to tug at your heartstrings, Margo.
No, it's okay. I mean, I pay attention to it through TikTok, Dancing with the Stars, but I'm not as invested as I was.
Last year was like, get the day done, get in the living room, everybody sit down, be quiet, we're here gathered to watch
this.
Okay. Oh, man. See, you're getting
old.
This
took a turn.
It did take a turn.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I'm sorry to conjure up those thoughts.
It's okay. We can bring the vibes back up by giving away those tickets. What a transition, right?
Yes. You just want to host the rest of the show?
Sure, I'm down.
Tickets now? Is that fair? Call That's in fair. Right now. 4 tickets to the Pitt men's basketball game Friday, November 28th. Peterson Event Center at 7 o'clock. The Ohio State University is the opponent. How about the seventh caller? 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. You give Margo a call. In just a couple moments, The Power of Local Radio Part 2. I have something else that's crazy that local radio, without it, this wouldn't have happened. Call for those pit tickets now. You know what I'm lost on? This whole resistance in Springdale to this data center. I'm lost on it. They had like tailgate parties whenever they tore those smokestacks down and everything else. And you ever been to Springdale? It could use a jolt, certainly. It could definitely use a jolt. I've been there many a times. And somebody wants to come in and give it a jolt. And they're having all these zoning board hearings and this proposed center. And what are they going to do with it? And what's it going to do? And what's it going to put in the air? What's it I don't know. You want business or don't you? Do you want to boost the economy or don't you? Now, I guess it's at the hands of the borough council or the town council, and we'll see where they vote on this. The resistance seems to be a bit much for me. I can understand a couple questions here and there, but the resistance seems to be just a bit much for me. I'll just be frank with you. Anyway, 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. I want to have a good rest of the show. Because I'm gone after today until Monday on vacation. All right, Power of Local Radio. So I played for you something earlier that really highlighted local radio. I did. This one is crazy. Now, you got to follow me here. The Dear Margo went and got the clips from DC 101. So Long story short, DC 101 and their morning show, it reaches the Beltway area. So they had a caller from Frederick, Maryland. This is Elliot in the morning, okay? That is the show. So the power of radio, they pick up a call from Frederick, Maryland. And here's how it went.
And I sent Diane a few pictures of me exploring nature. And look what I came upon.
Dude, you found a dead body?
Yes.
This was the one where you were on that campsite. Is that right?
Yes.
Dude.
Yes.
Dude.
That was amazing. It was... this may sound sick, but I've always wanted to come upon something like that.
Yes.
And luckily, it was months old, so that was nice.
Tell me, Jesus Christ.
Whoa. Think about that for a moment. So they have a caller who calls their show on DC 101 and says he found a dead body as he was walking around. Now, Frederick, Maryland, by the way, their police chief is Jason Lando, who's headed here. Now, the call continues, the conversation. This guy calls. This is like a Stand By Me moment, that movie, right?
Tell me you called the police.
Probably today. I had a dream last night that I called them. So, yeah, no, not yet.
Dude,
I mean,
call the cops. Call the cops.
Yeah, are the remains still out on that campsite?
Yes.
Dude, call the police.
As of whatever, 18 days ago, yes.
So this isn't a put-on at all. This guy calls a radio show, says, hey, you know, I like to go out and explore here and there and check stuff out. You'll never believe what I saw. I saw a dead body in Frederick, this campsite. Oh, did you call anybody? No, just you guys on the radio.
And I assume this guy just died in his sleep, whether it was an overdose.
Okay, that's fine. Can you please call the police?
Yes, I'm going to do that today.
I want you to promise me. No, not today, I get going. Like, we're going to hang up, and you're going to call the police.
And I'm gonna have them pick me up, and I'll drive them out to the site. And let them identify
beautiful.
Teddy.
Beautiful. But you're going to do that now.
Soon.
No, please.
What do you mean soon?
You have nothing else going
on.
That is
more. Do it right now.
Yeah. Why? Because there's a dead body that you found.
Okay. So the guy ends up calling the police. And authorities in Maryland said they discovered a dead body in the woods after getting a tip from that mysterious phone call to the radio station. The caller who said his name was Joseph, before saying that wasn't his real name, told that DC 101 station that he found that dead body 18 days ago. Now, following the radio call, Frederick police confirmed they found the body near that area, but they didn't release any further details. Maybe Lando will tell us all about this. They're still working to identify the body. This was just yesterday. They're still working to identify the body, and they didn't say if the guy helped them out or not, or if they just, from description, went out and checked it out where that guy said it was. The power of local radio. That is absolutely creepy. Totally creepy. They better hope that that isn't a murder victim. Now, again, it sounds like there was no foul play, but it just is kind of sick that somebody would call a radio station as opposed to calling the police. Diabolical. Did you hear the way that guy was talking? I mean, that was really, and I don't want to judge people, but the guy sounded like he had no heart, and was creepy as can be. I mean, if you stumble upon a body, think of it in these terms. If you stumble upon a body, and the first thing you don't do is call the police, you got a screw loose. You just do. And then if you wait for, like he said, 18 days or whatever, and then you say, well, it's been on my mind a little bit, I probably should say something. And then as opposed to calling the police, you call DC 101, a radio show, a radio station, and call Elliot in the Morning, whatever it's called, and then say, hey, I got to tell you guys something. What? What do you think about, you think the Commanders are going to win this weekend? No. There's a body in Frederick that I was out just kicking around and happened to see it. Oh, did you call the police? No, I just want to call you guys and tell you it was pretty cool because I wanted to see a dead body at some point in my life. That's when you start to look at that guy's browser history on every device that he owns and see what he's been up to. But anyway, I'm sure more will come out about that. But kudos to Margo for digging through and getting those clips from that show today, or yesterday, excuse me. Kudos to her for going back in that archives from DC 101 and grabbing that. That story will hit nationally as we get through the night tonight. And man, is it creepy. Yikes. All right, back to it. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. What a case. How about that phone call? Paul's in Robinson. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Colin, I don't know if you caught it when that guy was talking, the weirdo, that he named the body Teddy.
You know what? Two people texted me that. And one was a police officer. One? I'm looking at this text right now. It's crazy you say that. He said, one police officer texted me and said, this guy either did it or knows who did it because he named the dead person.
Right. It's either that or he's like a weirdo and he goes and has breakfast with it, lunch, dinner. He might be one of them kind of guys.
Man, I did not catch it. It's crazy you called and said that because I'm looking at two different people texting me. One is a police officer and said, stop, and like all exclamation points. He named the person. He knows who did this or he's responsible. Great catch by you. That was creepy. There's no other way to put it. Totally creepy, totally nuts. Nicole's in Shaler. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Hi. Do you want to talk?
I was actually the one that made the call in Shaler.
Okay. Oh.
This morning. It was me. So I work from home, and I was working. We had ordered breakfast off of DoorDash, and the guy was about to pull in our driveway, and a van pulled up behind him, kind of ran to his front, like his driver's side door, opened it and pulled him out, left his car running. They, like, one of them went in his car while the other put him in the van. They didn't have masks or anything on, but they were wearing black and black hats. I mean, I assumed it was ICE. But like his car was, they left and his car was still sitting in the middle of our street. And I'm not sure if you're familiar, but it's a fairly busy street. And his car was left running in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called 911 'cause in my heart, like obviously I knew it was ICE.
Now this is Wible Run Road, I'm told.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a busy street. The high school's on this street. I mean, it's busy.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly where it is. You dip down off the boulevard, you wiggle down, you go up towards that way, right?
Yeah, I mean, and his car was left in the middle of the street running.
Now, here's what I've been told from people, just so you know. This was somebody they'd been tracking for a while, somebody who has warrants, and this was the best opportunity to take him into custody. So that's where we are with this.
Which, I mean, I understand, but from my point of view, somebody was pulled out of a car in front of my house, thrown in a car. Their car was left running in the middle of the street. Like I said, even on the 911 call, I said I am pretty sure it's an ICE, like they're a detainment from ICE.
Here's the other part, Nicole. I don't mean to interrupt you. Both people that I've texted with, and I'm looking at the text right now, from a local and federal level, don't blame you one bit.
Well, that's good. I'm glad.
I mean, they just need, they got to the bottom of it for public safety reasons in terms of, here's the thing. Because of the amount of local police that have said they're not going to cooperate with ICE, which is unfortunate in my opinion. And it kind of, it matters how some people feel. I'm just telling you how I feel. I think it's very unfortunate that some local police don't cooperate with ICE. ICE has now taken to at times when they feel as if they have something under control or can take care of it. A lot of times they don't even alert local police. They just go in and get it done because they don't want to cause them headaches locally when they leave to have people say, you sided with ICE and protest at their borough building. You follow me?
Yeah.
And it feels like that's what happened here. They had it under control. They got their guy. They were gone. Now, as far as securing his car, I'm sure they came back for it later.
No.
Still there?
No. The Shaler police had it towed.
Right. Did you get your food?
The police officer gave it to me.
Okay. Right.
Not that that's even like a big deal. Like, I didn't really care about that.
Well, if it was Frank's Buffalo Chicken Pizza, it would have been.
It was not. It was breakfast. Okay. But like I said, I mean, I assumed it was ICE, but again, what if it wasn't?
Well, then what would have happened is that 911 call that you made, they would have ran the plate or done what they were doing. Go ahead.
You know, I noticed on the show, it was said like people don't know how to handle ICE, you know, detainments. And it's not that I didn't know how to handle it. It's just, what am I supposed to do?
Well, you did the right thing. You saw what you thought was a suspicious situation. It didn't look right. You called 911. And then I'm looking at something from the Shaler Township Police that says at 10:20 a.m. there was a law enforcement arrest, 900 block of Weibel Run Road. It didn't involve Shaler Police. A 911 witness to it called 911 center as an abduction. The person was taken into custody, and the arrest was confirmed, the information with the federal authorities. So everybody did everything right. No. Nope.
Yeah, I just said, I think just kind of how it was addressed that like, oh, people don't know what to do in these situations or can't handle seeing ICE detainments. It's not that. It's just that, I mean, what are you supposed to do? I know people can't handle. I mean, I don't agree with, you know, the people wrecking their cars into ICE, but.
Well,
I
do
mean,
you know, over on Middle Road, Sam Hicks is dead because Bobby Corby shot his gun down the steps, right?
And I'm just saying, I think it's right to question. I don't think it's right to take a violent action. I think it's right to question it.
Well, you did. You questioned it. You called 911. They vetted it through. And somebody who's undocumented is in custody, and rightly so. So, again, nobody did anything wrong.
Yeah, I agree. I just wanted to kind of clear up because there's been a lot, like I was reading online different information about like what happened, and it's a little crazy.
No. Well, thank you for the call. Stay offline. Don't read the comments. That's for sure. I'm glad she cleared it up. I appreciate her making the call.